The next J is Janet Kuipers. Yeah, come on, baby.
Hello, thank you.
What is this little voice?
Hello. I can sound like a little girl. Hello, thank you. This one, if you want to have any idea of what the people who found this country might have thought, this poem is called The State of the Nation. My phone rang earlier today, and I picked it up and I said, hello. And the man at the other end said, is this Janet Kuipers? And I said, yes, it is. May I ask who is calling? And he said, yeah, hi, this is George Washington, and I'm sitting here with Jefferson and a couple of other us guys, and we just want to tell you some stuff. And I said, why me? And he said, excuse me, I believe I said I was the one that wanted to do the talking. That is the problem with you Americans nowadays. You are so damn rude. And I said, you know, you really didn't have to use language like that. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I've been dead for so long. I lose all control of my manners. Well, anyway, we just wanted to tell you some stuff. Now, we didn't have much of an idea of what we were doing when we were starting this country here. We didn't have much experience in creating bodies of power. And then he put in a dramatic pause, and he said, but when we said a right to bear arms, we meant to protect yourselves from a government gone wrong, and not so that you could, you know, kill a 16-year-old in an ATM machine at 6 p.m. in the evening for $20 cash. And when we said freedom of religion, we included the separation of church and state, because freedom of religion could mean freedom from religion. And when we said freedom of speech, we had no idea you'd be painting pictures of Christ doused in urine or photographing people with whips up their respective anatomies. But I guess we've got to grin and bear it, because if they ban that, the next thing they'll ban is books, and we can't have that. And I said, well, there are schools that have books banned, George. And he said, oh. Sorry for doing that one off memory. This one is from, I've got three pieces here from the book Hope Chest in the Attic, 13 Years of Poetry. This is a nice, happy, depressing piece called Confident Women. I met up with an old friend of mine for a drink last week. I knew her in high school, although we weren't close friends then. In those days, she needed therapy. She had problems with drugs, I think, or else it was just family problems. I was a bit insecure myself, shy, meek, scared of life. But since those days, we've matured. We're now more independent, self-confident, self-assured women. It was good to see her again. She came back from a camping trip in Australia. Although physically I had gone nowhere, we both had our stories to tell over a bottle or two of wine. And we gossiped, and she told me of the handsome Australian man she fell for, and I told her of the roller coaster I call my romantic life. And we laughed, and then that gossip changed. Her voice lowered, and sounding stern but quiet, she told me of how a man broke into her apartment one night last summer and tried to rape her. And after kicking and screaming in her underwear, she managed to break free and her attacker escaped. She told me that they found the man and the trial was scheduled for later in the month. And she sat there with her wine glass in her hand, looking so confident, as if she knew she won that battle. Trying not to sound corny, I told her I could give her a hug. And she leaned over my shoulder and she cried, hiccuping as she tried to catch her breath. They would make her recount everything on the stand, she said, and the defense lawyers would try to make her sound promiscuous by saying that she slept alone in her underwear. I told her that I would try to be there for her in the trial, I told her that she was winning by speaking out. Self-assured women. Confident women. How confident are we supposed to be? Thank you, thank you. This is a piece called The Flashback. Everyone at work wondered why she looked so down that day, and occasionally someone would ask her, "What's the matter?" And she would just say it was a bad day. And she went through the motions. She did her work. She ate her lunch, even though the lettuce tasted bad. And then she had to run an errand for her boss. And she was in her car. It was snowing. Not the pretty kind of snow. Not the kind of snow that you think of on Christmas Day. It was like the snow was already dirty and gray before it hit the ground. And she was driving, and she didn't even realize that she was going under the speed limit. She was in a daze, lost, but not because of depression, but because there was nothing she wanted to even think about. And so she drove. And she dropped the crate of flyers and mailing lists off for the boss, and she drove back. And the whole way she was thinking that she should drive slower so that she wouldn't be back at work so fast. And so she drove slowly, coasting now, watching the dirty snow touch her windshield. And she looked over to her left, and there was an old man there, lowering his car from the jack it was on. A flat tire. And she had a flashback. And it was no longer winter, and suddenly she was no longer driving. She was outside. She was now looking at someone trying to fix the flat on his rusty old white car. They were driving back from the park. It was summer in Monticello. It must have been 90 degrees. And there she was on a dirty beige carpet scrap from the floor of his car. She had the scrap and moved it off of the dirt road about 10 feet into the field. And she just sat there, watching him, shirtless, fixing the car so they could drive home. And she wanted to remember it, just like that. And then the light turned green. She followed the procession of cars through the graying snowflakes, and she began to forget that she was having a bad day, and she didn't mind her days. Thank you. I felt like saying, thank you, Easter Bunny. Thank you. One more piece. This one is in two parts. Two, I count them two. This is called The Muse, The Messiah. I can see you now, hunched over, pouring yourself into your work. Scattered papers, dim lights flooding white over your glaring screen in your otherwise darkened corner of the world. And I know you can feel me now, feel me rushing into that window that you leave only slightly open at night, rushing in with a faint whisper, circling around your neck, curling up around your jaw, opening your mouth so slightly. You can feel my rush, chilling your teeth. You tilt your head back, closing your tired eyes from your problems, from your future in front of you, from those pages, from that screen under that white light. You let me open your mouth more and more. You feel me swirling around your tongue, down your throat, into your lungs, like smoke from a closed cigarette when you hold your breath to feel that high, feel that ecstasy just a little longer, or like the steam rushing down your throat when you take a deep breath at the summer morning after a heavy fog. You open your eyes. You lick your lips. I make you do that. I make you forget your world. I let you feel me there. You can't escape me. I'm there. I'm your muse. And I'm sitting in my apartment, and when I reach my arm, shadows of my hand stretch across the wall. Though there is no music, I begin to move my hands like a ceremony, as if to a drummed-out rhythm, like the pant of a mistress as she's walking down a hotel steps into her car after seeing her savior, like waves that are slowly crashing into the shoreline, like phases of the moon that are changing. The waves are crashing in with more and more intensity, with more and more power, faster and faster. And at this very moment, you walk down a street somewhere. It is daylight, and you see that moon peering toward you from the sky. The moon was looking for you. It wanted to watch you. You divert your eyes, step off the curb, and for no reason walk into the middle of the street. There is no traffic. You are safe. And the moon watches the stride of your step, and the moon watches my hand, and the moon hears the rhythmic pant of intensity, and the moon rises the water. We feel the drumming beat. The phases of the moon are changing. There is no reason why you should question this. You can feel me. I will keep you safe. I will keep you alive. I'm your Messiah.